that's right. We're right here this afternoon. I'm Ann Eller, and I am here with Marcia Kelly Clark. She would like to be the next coroner for Greenwood County. She, of course, ran 4 years ago. And Marcia, what happened when you ran 4 years ago?
Well, I was caught in that middle of the filing fiasco that happened where over 250 people across the state was kicked off the ballot, and I was one of them. And then we did the petitions to try to get back on the ballot, and my signatures fell short, so I was not put back on the ballot. So I ran as a write-in and received over 4,500 votes, mm-hmm. or write-in votes.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It was humbling. It still is to know that many people actually took the time to write me in.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. I know I remember interviewing you and everything during that last run, and that it was very, very hard on you.
It was hard. It's something that I had worked 13 years for. I knew from basically when I walked in the office that one day that I would run for that office, and when the time came and then all the mess happened, it was rough.
Now, you worked for who when you went to work there in
Jim
the office?
Corsi.
Jim Corsi. Mm-hmm. And then he decided not to run, he retired.
That's right. He did not seek re-election in 2012.
Okay. And if I remember correctly, according to what you told me, you pretty much ran that office.
Pretty much. I mean, Mr. Corsi did. He lived, had another house somewhere else, so he was gone most of the time. So I was given pretty much control over the office to make sure things were kept up to date and everything was in order, and oversaw all the deputy coroners in the office. And in 2004, after I started in 2004, he promoted me to chief deputy coroner. So I was over, you know, I took care of all the office and the deputy coroners too.
And what does that mean exactly?
Well, I did, you know, made sure that they had their training, the schedules, any problems. Two of our deputy coroners were volunteers, and they worked full-time jobs during the week. So on the weekend, they would cover calls, and any time they had a call, they had to let me know about the call. Or if they needed backup on the call, I would have to go out and respond with them on a call also. But then they would just leave their folders from their calls for the weekend at the office, and then I would finish those. And then so I did. I had a part in not only the calls that I personally took, but I also took care of all the calls that came in through the office. I had to see that those were done also.
Now, what is the function of a coroner's office?
The main thing for a coroner's office or coroner is death investigation. You to determine why and how someone died. And of course, there's the office part of it where you have to do the budgets and the main, you know, the main office stuff, and that's up to the coroner too, and that's when you have a lot of deputy coroners that do the death investigation part. But the coroner themselves have to be certified, and now it's mandatory that you're certified through American Board of Medical Legal Death Investigator, and I became certified in that in 2009, paying for it myself before it was mandatory. So I've held that certification for several years.
Now, are you certified now?
Yes.
You have a certification that is valid. How long is it? Because you have to renew it every so often,
I believe. It will expire at the end of this year.
At the end of this year.
I have it. I will have to renew it. I'll have to renew it after this election.
After the election. Is it anything? Do you have to take more education and pass any courses? Is it this? I mean, I have my auctioneer's license,
right.
And every so many years you have to recertify.
Yes, you have to continue your education or sit and recertify for the exam. And they have a just where you can sit and recertify for it every year, if that's the way you want to do it. If you're not actually working in the field. So I've that's what I've been able to do and maintain.
You've been recertified every year?
Well, it's certified up to 4 years, and then you recertify, and then you recertify again. But I've talked with them out there. in St. Louis in school. I took the test here in town. I studied for the exam, and then I sat for the exam at Piedmont Tech. You have to sit for it at a college.
Okay. So you are currently currently have this certification, and at the end of this year it'll run out and you'll have to take it again. So you kept it up even though you weren't being coronary.
Yeah, being coronary. Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Yes. Because I've kept up with the you know, there's online classes, there's free online classes, and you can take these things and things like that. And I've kept up with the field of death investigation. Just because I haven't been actively at the coroner's office doing it, I have kept up with it and things that go on with forensics, for example. And I have several friends that are still around the state in the coroner field. So, you know, I talk with them a lot, and it's not like I just haven't been doing it. I've kept up with it the whole time because I'm interested in it, and I love the job, and you know, I knew I wanted to get back in it, so I certainly wanted to keep my certifications.
Now, question, I know you were very hurt when you didn't win. I know that you were very bothered that you didn't stay at the coroner's office. I would think it'd be very painful, personally, just from my personal thinking about it. Why would you open up yourself to all this again?
Because it means that much to me.
Yeah.
Helping families and being able to help a family when they lose someone, and knowing how to help them and what steps you have to do to investigate, to give them some answers, it's important. And I enjoy the work. I enjoy being a death investigator. I enjoy running the coroner's office.
Has anybody ever told you you're a little weird, Marcia?
Probably. I've heard it quite a bit. But the comfort and the peace that you get when you help a family, mm-hmm. you give them answers, it's worth it. And I've got many, many friends that came out of some terrible situations, and it's rewarding. And it's just something that I want to do. I want to be able to help citizens and help the community. And, you know, before I left the coroner's office, I was actively involved in the community and Save Kids, Tough program. Anytime I could speak at schools, junior high schools, church groups, the Ware Shoals Festival, for example, I had a table set up there every single year that people could come by and I could give them information. You know, anytime you can go out and reach the public, you might save a life, and every time you save a life, you've made a difference.
Now, what about? I mean, in the last 4 years since you've been doing this, the texting has become a huge part of what's happening out there when you talk about saving lives.
Texting is a very huge part, but not only the coroner's office, there is a lot of information out there from other agencies and other organizations about texting. One of my main topics when I speak to teenagers and such is not just texting, because, as you said, texting has just, you know, within the
exploded.
Last couple of years.
Exploded. Yeah.
But also, if you have several friends in your car and you're cutting up and you're laughing, or you're playing with your radio, or you're changing stations, you've got to be aware.
Distracted driving.
That's exactly right. And, you know, you don't have to be doing 100 miles an hour to have a car wreck, and actually it's a fatal car wreck. That's a myth. Or people believe that you got to be flying down the road. That's not true. You can be doing 30 miles an hour, and I know that for a fact. But I want kids to realize that you can have friends in your car, but you've got to be paying attention to what you're doing. You've got to. You can't. And of course, now is the texting. And as far as teenagers and alcohol, most of your alcohol-related deaths are over 18. The majority of them are. I say that for the majority of them that I worked, they were over 18. The 18 and under is distractions in a car.
Sure.
So.
And it's easier to distract them, I think.
It is. It is. When you're listening to radios, and if you got a couple of kids in there with you, oh, turn that or do that, or you're talking and talking about the football game last night, whatever. I mean, you know, if you're not paying attention, and of course now the cell phones, and I don't think cell phones should work, period, in a car, even free hand, you know, no, not even holding it, because if you're looking down to call, look up a number or whatever, that's still distraction.
Sure.
You don't have to be texting. You can be talking on the phone.
Now, I understand one of the things that you are very passionate about is organ donation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People, you just don't realize how many lives are saved through organ donation. And, you know, Ann, it really wasn't. I became aware of it because of my mother. My mother only had one eye. And then her good eye, she had a retina detachment. And I always said that if I could give my mom one of my eyes, I would give my mom one of my eyes. Well, then that was when I was young and didn't know. But after I got into the job and realized what organ donation, and it's not organ donation, if you're going to do an organ, which is a live organ, you have to be on life support. So you would be in a hospital on life support to be able to give an organ. But there's so many other things, skin, tissue, heart valves, vessels, corneas, so many things can be donated after you're deceased. Some things up to 2 days, up to 48 hours afterward. It saves so many lives, and it improves the lives of so many people. It's one thing I will fight till the end about organ donation. It's just, and anybody that wants to be an organ donor, please, please tell your family, tell your friends, shout it on the rooftop. Don't just put it on your driver's license. Make sure your family knows, because families are distraught when you pass away, and they'll say, oh, they didn't want to do that, or oh, I don't believe in that, and they don't do it. You've got to let them know that that is your wishes, and that's what you want done when you die.
That's right. Well, we are here with Marcia Kelly Clark. If you'd like to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't you go away.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
That's right. We're right here this afternoon at Sharp Facets Gallery. It's nice and cool in here, and I'm here with Marcia Kelly. She has the biggest double gulp I've ever seen sitting right here at the table. But she's a thirsty girl here today, I guess. Marcia, it's pretty warm out there, but it's pretty comfortable in here, huh?
It is nice and cool in here.
It is. So you're married.
I am.
To Dave Clark. He's a musician. Now, what are you doing? You're splitting your time between, you have a house out in Arizona and here?
I still have my home here. I'm here most of the time. Dave's in Arizona most of the time because he is a musician and he plays in several bands and does some studio recording out there. So he's in Arizona more than he is here. But So
you guys get along real well.
Very well. You know, when there's 2,000 miles separating you, you don't have a choice but to get along very well. We talk every day. So.
No, when I was growing up, my father traveled all week long and only was home on the weekends. So they got along great on the weekends.
My mom used to say that's why her and dad was married so long, because he would come home once every 6 months or so for a weekend because he traveled. He was a pipe fitter with Daniel, so he was gone for all the time. My mom said that's the only reason they could stay married.
So you decided to keep that same relationship idea alive. Is that what you're telling us?
I didn't plan it, but, you know, in Arizona, Dave just got... Once he hit town, it was like there was no stopping him, so he just had to go with the flow. So that's what he does.
So if you've been on Marcia Kelly Clark's Facebook page particularly, you'll see a lot of musician pictures and
absolutely.
Stuff. And you need
absolutely.
To understand that's why they are there, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So you left the office in 2013.
I did.
Or 2012, 2013. And then I guess you... If I remember from Facebook, you spent some time out there in Arizona.
I did. I went to Arizona right after, well, in 2013. And then I came back after several months, but that's when we decided that Dave was going to stay. So, and, you know, my kids.
You didn't
and my,
get along that well staying out there together. I know where
well,
this
it
is
was,
going.
It was, really, it was really hot out there, so I decided I needed to get back. And my kids are here, and, you know, my house is still here, and things had to be done here, but... the reason, and he didn't come back because he was working all the time. So
he was making the money.
He was making the money. So that's what it was.
All right. Well, and as if I understand correctly, you tell me you go back and forth over these past 3 years.
I haven't been out there. I haven't been since last year, sometime August of last year, I think. And then the year before that, we had Dave's grandson was killed in a motorcycle accident in California. So we had to do some travel into Florida down there with his family. And then I was in, we went to San Diego in July with some friends of ours. They have a sailboat. So we spent the 4th of July on the bay in San Diego. That was really nice. So,
do they have fireworks and all?
Oh, it was beautiful, beautiful. And that's why we were out there that night for the 4th, which my birthday was the 3rd. So we just kind of threw in my birthday party. They said they were having a fireworks party for me.
Just for you, Marcia.
Just for me.
There you go. And how many thousands other people were there?
Oh, several thousands. Yeah. A lot of boats. It was very wavy, very wavy. But my oldest grandson was born in San Diego at Camp Pendleton, and that's a beautiful place. I would go to San Diego any time, any chance I got, I would be there. So
that's good.
I love it.
But now, if I'm getting the idea, she wants to go back to work and she wants to be the coroner for Greenwood County.
I've never given that gold up.
Was it ever hard for you to say I'm going to do it this time?
Not at all, not at all. I knew I was. Yeah, getting over the last election took a little bit, but I knew that I had to come back and fight for this again because, first of all, this time I'll be on the ballot. There will be a choice. There was no choice last time. You know, if you wanted me, you had to write me in. There was only one name to choose from, and it wasn't mine. This time there will be. And I love the office. I love caring for people and helping people and being able, it's just what I am. It's just who I am. And I knew I'd have to do it again, try for it again. I worked a long time, many years, to get there. And I just can't give up. I just can't give it up.
Okay. Now, as when you worked in the coroner's office, how many deputy coroners did y'all have? How many people worked in the office, and then how many people total in the office?
Well, there was two full-time deputy coroners, one of them myself, and then there was two part-time deputy coroners that worked the weekends, and then there was two volunteer deputy coroners that covered weekends also. And then I think it was in 2007 that we were able to hire a secretary to help because the office work had gotten more than I could do on my own. And I was the only one in the office really doing the office work and taking calls and doing everything. So I think it was 2007 that a secretary was hired to help. So and then in the end, she would transport bodies to for autopsies and stuff, but she pretty much did office work only. But I did the calls, took the calls, did the scheduling for everyone.
Okay. How many hours did you average work?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh. Well, I mean, my job description said I was on call 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that's pretty much the case. Because any deputy coroner that went out on a call, they had to let me know that they had a call, what it was, and then if it was something other than a natural, I would respond to back them up. And then if it was something they handled, I had to finish it up in the office. So pretty much I worked all the time. But the part-time and the volunteers would cover a weekend. So there was 4 weekends in a month. They would rotate weekends. And then the other deputy coroner in the office and myself, we would take turns during the week, but we would usually cover, sometimes you'd cover 24 hours, sometimes you'd cover half a day, 12 hours, and the other one would cover the other 12. It was split. Everybody pretty much worked the same hours on call, but I was also at the office and doing the office work too.
If you got this office again, when we come back, we're going to hear the news. When we come back, if you got this office again, I would like to know the things maybe you'd like to change or things you would like to keep the same, how you would see structuring the office. I am Ann Eller. I'm here with Marcia Kelly Clark. She is running for coroner's office. When we come back, we'll be talking about how she'd set that up. If you've got a question, don't hesitate to call us, 229-7984. News is up. We'll be back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. I'm Ann Eller here in my studios at Sharp Facets Gallery. I'm here with, sitting across the table from Marcia Kelly Clark. Marcia, you were in the coroner's office. You were the deputy coroner.
Chief deputy coroner
until the election back in 2012.
Yes.
Since that time, you have not worked in, you left, and you've been, I guess, here. You've been your husband out there in Arizona. Sounds to me like you've had a pretty good life.
I've been in traveling.
Okay. But anyways, you want this office back. You want to be back in the coroner's office. You want to be the coroner. And I wanted to ask you, basically, what do you see, having worked in that office, I would think you would be ready to go on day one, and what things would you set up or change from what it was, what it is? I'm not sure where you want to take this from.
Well, the first thing I would like to look into and is the number of deputy coroners that are in there now. You know, as I said before, the coroner is mandatory to have the ABMDI certification, the American Board of Medical Legal Death Investigators, but I feel that deputy coroners also need that certification. When I started in 2000, there was three of the deputy coroners that worked there, had worked there for years before I ever came along, so they were well experienced in death investigation. They're the ones that taught me a lot. Of course, I kept my training up and furthered my training, but I think everyone in that office should be certified. It's required by the state that you have 16 hours per year as a deputy coroner. You have 16 hours training per year, but 16 hours a year is not enough. And you also have to go out and actually work calls to get the hands-on experience and to get the training and to get that certification. I just believe it. Every one of them needs to be certified. Not all at one time. You know, the ones that have worked the most calls, start with them. That's one thing I would like to see. You can sit for the exam, I think, between $350, $400, which, you know, if you're taking classes every year and you're putting 7-8 people in a class, you're spending that much money anyway. When you can get a person certified, nationally certified as a death investigator, and, you know, continue their training, especially if they're out assisting families, they need to know as much as possible and keep up to date with what's the changes. Things change every day. You learn something from every call. I never left a scene that I didn't learn something from. It might have been a simple little something, or it might have been, oh, I can't believe I figured that out. But that's the only way to learn. That's the only way to keep up with what's going on.
So you'd like to see everybody in the office certified?
Absolutely. Oh. Everybody ought to have equal training and equal time out investigating and the experience. Everybody needs that.
And what other things would you change?
I would like
to have or continue the way it is.
Well, like I said, I'm not sure everything that goes on in there now, but I do know that I would like to see that continue to work with programs like when I was there with Safe Kids. You know, we would have, and I would work with the Safe Kids organization, where we would have car seat instructions on Saturdays. We would put car seats in cars that were donated for children and teach the parents how to buckle the car seat into the car and then buckle the kids into the car seat. That was very important. And also work with the hospital on newborns. I have worked so many unsafe sleeping conditions, death of infants, and it's just it's nobody's fault. It happens. You know, new parents are tired, they're worn out, they don't realize it, and accidents happen, and you can't blame anyone. But to make any new parent, but a lot of young parents, aware of how dangerous it is, do not sleep with your child. Do not sit down with your child in a chair that you might doze off. Put your child in that bed.
Right.
You know, that is a huge place in my heart, is to help parents, help new parents. That, and continue to talk in the schools and with teenagers, and you know, just pounding in them about the, of course, texting nowadays, and of course alcohol. But as I said, alcohol is not the leading factor in teenagers. It's not paying attention. Mm-hmm. It's distraction.
So you are there any other changes? Were there things that when you left that office that you would have liked to have seen changed? I mean, you don't know whether they have been changed or not, but are there any things that you're saying, the training, making sure all the deputy coroners have this certification? But any other things? Are the records done digitally now? Is there always a paper copy? I mean, how are records being kept in the offices now of the coroner's office?
Back when I started, we had the program through Greenwood County. And then after several years, I found a boxes full of spiral notebooks that were from the previous administration, and they were calls and scenes, and I knew, you know, if this place burned down, these things are gone.
Right.
Nobody, I mean, they're from the 1960s. So the coroner's office received, every coroner's office in the state received some grant money from the Coroner's Association, and I was able to contact Castle Solutions in Greenville, and the owner, Rick, and I worked for over a year and built a database to start putting these old calls on. Now, when I left, up until the day that I left, I was still entering calls on that database just to have these saved on a database in the county. But then right before, in 2011, I believe it was 11, we started using a nationwide program that sheriff's departments, coroner's office, different offices use.
Sure.
It's kind of the same. That way you could upload your reports into and your pictures into, but also a paper file. You have to have a paper file, and then you have paperwork that has to be completed at each death to transport bodies, so you have to have that paper form. But having the new computer program, if it's still being used, I would like to see that. I hope that it's still being used, because you can put so many digital things on that program.
Now, you know, in a lot of cases, people just die.
Absolutely.
I mean, natural death. There's no foul play. There's no nothing. No accident, right? That you know, right. But I mean, I guess my next question is, why do we need a coroner?
Well, it's like you just said, you assume it's a natural death. What if I go into a home and there's a elderly person who's passed away, and the family says, oh, she's been sick, or he's been sick for 2 years now, he's going downhill for 2 years, okay. Did he just die in his sleep, or did this person take a lot of medication? I need to know that. You know, elderly people are people that's on, not just elderly, that's on a lot of medication. Sometimes they'll take medication and forget that they took the medication, and then they'll take medication again. So you've got to say, well, you know, they're on 7 types of medicines, and some of that is depressants and stuff that can actually cause your heart to stop. So did this person just pass away because of their elderly and they've been going downhill for 2 years, or did this person take too much medication and actually cause their death? You've got to know which test to do to find out if that medication was involved. If it was, that becomes an accidental death, which helps the family, because most life insurance policies pay double for an accident. So you're not only helping that person out, you're helping that family out. You cannot just say that a person just passed away because they're old or they had 5 heart attacks before. You can't do that. You've got to investigate every single death.
So even natural deaths?
Even natural deaths. You've got to look at what medications they were on, how long they've been sick, what were their illnesses, talk with their doctors and find out, you know.
How long a process is that, Marcia?
It just depends on the call. I mean, if I walk in and it is an elderly person that's been sick for 2 years and has gradually gotten worse, and they didn't take any medications, they might have took Tylenol or something like that, well, you can pretty much rule out an overdose of their medications and stuff, and then you have to speak with their doctors. And it could be that their doctor saw them the day before and said, you know, I really didn't think they were going to make it through the night, and that doctor's willing to sign that death certificate. So you let the doctor sign their death certificate. He would be the one that certified their death. But you're going to get their medical records, so you'll have it in your file at the office that this is what you did, this is the scene, you write out everything that happened in the scene, who you talked to. Your family is your most important, or the people there are the most important to get your information from. They have the most valuable information. They can tell you everything that was leading up to that death, and that's the main people that you talk with. And then the next step is the medical doctors.
So do you have to be able to understand medical records?
Oh, yes. You've got to understand medical.
How do you know that?
Well, you do a lot of studying. And, you know, you talk to a lot of doctors. If there's something, if you look up words, if you come across a new word. And after many, many, many years of doing it and talking with doctors and getting explanations and reading reports, by no means am I a doctor, but you learn a lot from it. And, you know, if you read something that you don't understand, you have to have somebody that you can call and talk to about it. And a pathologist, Dr. Woodard and Anderson, Dr. Ross and Newberry, are excellent to explain for autopsy purposes. But if it's a general question from a general doctor, I've worked with several doctors around town that would gladly help me out if I needed things. But you do a lot of studying. It's a never-ending. You always learn something every day.
All right. Well, we're here with Marcia Kelly Clark. She does want to be the next coroner. She is up for the primary here on June 14th, which I might add is a week from today. So we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll come right back. If you have any questions, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
We're right here. I'm Ann Eller here with Marcia Kelly Clark. She is running again. Yes, this is her second try, and this time she is on the ballot, folks, and you will have a choice on June 14th. You can also vote absentee anytime this week, including Saturday. I think it's from 9 to 1 o'clock at the voter registration. So if you're going to be out of town on Tuesday, absolutely no excuse. Go ahead and get her done. Vote. It's your right. It's also your responsibility. But we are here today talking about why she wants to be coroner, what she plans to do as coroner. I was just asking her about, we need a coroner, but sometimes I think a lot of people don't understand why. I mean, we've got law enforcement. They can go in and see that the body is dead.
Absolutely. But law enforcement investigates a criminal side of a matter. If it's a deceased individual that's elderly or expected to die, law enforcement isn't involved in that. It's the coroner who actually does the investigation into the death. The coroner or deputy coroners, they're responsible for the body itself. Law enforcement is in charge of the crime. If someone broke into a house and a person died in the commission of that house being broken into, law enforcement investigates the break-in, mm-hmm. who broke in, how they got in, and apprehending that person. The coroner's office investigates why that person died. Did they die from shock, being scared to death, which is
right,
a cause of death? You can actually be scared to death. Or
that's
shot?
Why they have that term, scared to death.
Right, absolutely. Or were they dead before the break-in happened, that's what the coroner's office does. They investigate the death. Law enforcement and the coroner's office is two very separate, totally different.
They work together, though?
They absolutely work together. The law enforcement needs to know from the coroner, did this person die naturally or did this person die related to this crime? Because they need to know how to charge the person that they end up arresting. And the coroner needs the information from the law enforcement, how they got in, what happened. And you have to work together. You always work together. And I've always had a good working relationship with the law enforcement in town, the EMS, the fire departments. Everybody has to work together and come together, but everybody is a separate office. They have their own investigations that they do.
Why do you think the coroner's office is an elected office?
I have absolutely no idea. I don't know. I've tried to go back and Google and research that, and you don't get anything except back in the 1800s, it was elected. The person was elected back in the 1800s, and it's just always been that way. It's always been that way. So until somebody changes it, it's that's just the way it is. Some states are law, or some states are coroners. Some states are medical examiners.
What's the difference?
A medical examiner's office is a doctor, a pathologist, who is hired by that area or that state or county. And runs the medical facility. They have an in-house morgue, and they're ABMDI certified death investigators, and it's a whole office. They do the death certificates there, and some
is that
states.
Like Quincy MD.
Yeah, Quincy was a medical examiner.
Right,
yes,
that's what I was trying to think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
in California, and you know Quincy was one of my all-time favorite shows. So maybe that's what got me into this. Maybe that and Emergency. I still watch Emergency. My daughter rides EMS, and I call her all the time. And, Amber, did you know they were doing this back in the 70s that you're doing now? You weren't even born in the 70s. She'll say, "Wow, I love it." She loves the show too. So,
okay,
but I'm proud of her.
But as far as a medical examiner, it is different. Well, do they just out of curiosity, do they vote for medical examiners?
No, they're hired. There is actually a doctor, a pathologist, and then of course they have other pathologists that's hired to work in the medical examiner's office, but they also have the death investigators, and medical examiner offices have in-house morgues, and some coroner's office does too, and that, years from now, I would like to see that the coroner's office here has a morgue inside, because we have to use the morgue at the hospital, and there's only like 4 slots, and you don't have a lot of mass fatality deaths in town, but anyway, you do have your own morgue in a medical examiner's office, and some hold up to hundreds of bodies and stuff. But those are a lot of big states and stuff like that, too.
Big cities, so I would presume.
Big cities, yes. Yeah.
What do you think about the state of Greenwood as far as the deaths and the issues that we have now? 2013 was a banner year for deaths here in Greenwood.
It was, but I think you're never going to be able to know what's going to happen in a town. I think the thing that happened in Greenwood, a lot of them occurred at one time. You can't say that won't ever happen again. I don't know that it ever happened before. I've never looked back to see, because I'm more about, if I can save one life, I'd rather tell you about the life I saved than about how many deaths we had. Now, I'm not saying that I won't use that in a school to say, look, this is how many deaths I have personally worked from children or teenagers, I call them kids, but they're teenagers or young adults not paying attention, had nothing to do with alcohol, had nothing to do with speed. It was just not paying attention. Let me tell you how many I've worked. And if I can save one, I've done something.
Yeah.
I've done something.
Well, I think that's from a overall perspective. And it certainly seems to me that with the media, it certainly is getting to be much bigger focus as far as this distracted driving that we're dealing with. As far as being the coroner, we're going to give you here in just a second 2 minutes to tell the folks why why you would like to return to that office, why you would like to be the coroner here in Greenwood County. But that takes a lot of stamina, I would think.
It does, but I'm up for it. I'm ready for it, and I'm up for it. And, you know, I did it then, and I'm ready to do it again. I'm just, I don't want to say I thrive off of it, but it helping families keep me going. Helping people keeps me going.
Well, that's very admirable, Marcia. And now I would like to say that you right here on WCRS, you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. WCRS is on 1450 AM and also on 98.5. Not too hot, not too cool. And now, Marcia, I'm going to give you 2 minutes to tell the folks why you should be elected to the Deputy Coroner's Office here. So go for it. Right now, here you go.
Well, as I told you, I started in 2000, and once I started in that office, I just felt like I had found my calling of what I wanted to do, and I never stopped learning and training and taking everything in that I could to become a better death investigator to help people, because helping a family understand why they lost someone, it's the best feeling in the world, knowing that you can give them answers. You know, I understand that people die of natural causes, or family members are expected to die, but when you lose someone suddenly and you don't know why, you still lost that person and you're still going to hurt over that person. But for somebody that knows what they're doing and knows how to investigate it and can give you a little bit of peace of knowing that they didn't suffer, or it was a quick, they had a heart attack and it was immediate and they didn't have to suffer, or why it happened, it's very rewarding to be able to help a family. And if I'm elected, I will continue to make sure that everybody in that office is trained as much as possible. They need, if they're going to be out assisting families, they need the training as much as the coroner or anyone else. I just believe the office has lots of potential to help citizens in this town and to work with other programs, to work with other organizations in this town on a regular basis, not just during school or holiday season or prom season, but throughout the year. I believe the coroner's office can make a big difference. And people need to realize that at some point in time, you're going to need a coroner. If it's your life, your family, your friends, if someone dies, it's, and they're outside a medical facility, you have to have a coroner to take care of what's going to happen if it's not inside a medical facility. So people don't realize the importance of a coroner's office. And I believe that the office here in town can be a good place and can assist a lot of families. And I would love to be the one to do that.
And we are listening to Marcia Kelly Clark right here on WCRS. Marcia, good luck and thanks for coming out today.
Thank you, Ann. I appreciate you having me.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.